Read Shmos Perek Yud Beis. Shmos Perek Yud Beis has the mitzvos of Pesach in it. So since we're Pesach is coming, as a way of getting ready for Pesach, we read Shmos Perek Yud Beis, Parshas HaKodesh. Parshas HaKodesh also has the first mitzvah in the Torah. The mitzvah of Kiddush HaKodesh, HaKodesh Zelchem Rosh Chodeshim. That mitzvah has two parts. A, the mitzvah of Kiddush HaKodesh. B, the fact that Nisan is the first month of the year. So we're going to discuss different aspects of Parshas HaKodesh. Okay, first we'll start with the famous Ramban. There was an extraordinarily famous Ramban on Shmos Perek Yud Beis, Ramban with a Nun, who says as follows. He says, we count the months from Nisan. Nisan is the first month of the year. What is the reason behind that mitzvah, that in Judaism, in the Torah, there are no names for the months, only what? Only? Only numbers. Why? So the Ramban says as follows. Hashem wanted Bnei Yisrael to constantly be remembering the miracles of Yetzias Mitzrayim. So by not having names for the months, only having numbers, that means every time you mention the date, what's today's date? Oh, it's the 8th month of the year. 8th month? Oh, 8th month from the first month. Yeah, that's Milas Mitzrayim. Oh yeah, Hashem does great miracles. So by only having numbers instead of names, it's a way of having Bnei Yisrael be constantly remembering Yetzias Mitzrayim. Every time you write the date, you write, today is the 8th month. Why the 8th month? Oh, the 8th month from Nisan, the first month. That's when we left Mitzrayim. That's why it's the first month. So it's a way of encouraging and creating a scenario where you'll constantly be remembering Yetzias Mitzrayim. That's the Ramban. This is, the Ramban explains, exactly parallel to the blanks of the blank. The days of the week, correct. In Judaism, there are no names for the days of the week. What are there? Numbers. Rishon, Sheni, Shlishi, Revi. Why? The Ramban says, because of the mitzvah of Shabbos. Zachor es Yom HaShabbos L'Kadsho. You're supposed to constantly be remembering Shabbos. Zachor es Yom HaShabbos L'Kadsho. That pasuk means, make Kiddush Friday night. And that pasuk also means, remember Shabbos every day of the week. Zachor es Yom HaShabbos L'Kadsho. When you say in davening, Hayom Yom Rishon B'Shabbos, Hayom Yom Sheni B'Shabbos, etc., what are you doing? According to the Ramban, you are fulfilling a mitzvah deraisa. Which mitzvah? Zachor es Yom HaShabbos L'Kadsho. Beautiful Ramban. Beautiful. This Ramban is part of a broader theme in Yadus, that in Yadus we try to find Ruchnius and try to find Hashem in even the most mundane, neutral things. Like, what's today's date? Oh, today's date is Yom Hamishi, the 23rd day of the 12th month. Wow, Hamishi Shabbos is coming. Wow, the 12th month from Nisan. You got the idea? We say Baruch Hu after we go to the bathroom. Something as mundane as that. Oh, we find Ruchnius and a Torah and a spiritual connection, even the most mundane activities. Just mentioning the date becomes an act which has in it religious significance. Beautiful Ramban. There's a obvious, very, very strong kasha on the Ramban. What's the very strong kasha on the Ramban? We have names of the months instead of numbers. We have names. That's the question you wanted to ask? Excellent. Well, just a minute. Well, let's absorb a question first. Absorb it for 2 seconds. And then, okay, now, the Ramban asked on himself, so why do we have names? Why don't we have names for the months? So listen, it was such a beautiful idea. Numbers, remind you of Mitzrayim, names, remembering the names of Mitzrayim, Ezekiel of Mitzrayim, wonderful. Why do we have names? Why do we have names? What's going on? So the Ramban explains as follows, beautifully. The Ramban explains as follows. He says, no. Where do the names come from? The names come from Babel. When the Jews left Babel, they brought the names with them. Why, the Ramban says? Because we wanted to have a zecher of the geula from Bavel. Just like we have a zecher of the geulas Mitzrayim with the numbers of the months, we also have a zecher of the geula from Bavel with the names of the months. Chazal wanted us to remember both. So you say, someone says to you, hey, this month is Adar. And you say to that person, what exactly is a Adar? What a strange name to give so much. Oh, Adar is a Persian name. Oh, these are from Babel, meaning just like we remember the fact that Hashem took us out of Mitzrayim, we also remember the fact that Hashem took us out of Babel, and we have confidence He's going to take us out of our goals eventually for the Gula Hasidah. So the Ramban explains beautifully that as opposed to the names of the months that we have nowadays, as opposed to those names being akasha against the principle of the Torah, the names are another application of the same principle of the Torah. What's the application? You should remember the gulas of Hashem. So now we use both. Sometimes we use the numbers, sometimes we use the name, we use both. And so we remember both gulas, Mitzrayim and Babel. That is the very, very famous, beautiful Ramban about the names of the months. You got the numbers and names of the months. Got it? I once asked a Rebbe of mine, maybe what about Zman HaMashiach? Are we going to take the English names of the months as a Zephyr of the Gula from the Western world? So he answered correctly, probably not. Because there are Jews all over the world, Jews in China, Jews in Russia, they have different names of the months. Jews in the Persian countries. So he didn't think so. Because in Babel, the vast majority of Gullus was in Babel, and they came back from Babel back to Eretz Yisrael. But nowadays, Jews are all spread. He didn't think so. I think he's probably correct. But I thought it was an interesting question. So by the Gula Hasidah, we're probably not going to take the American names of the months back with us, because what about the Jews from China, the Jews from the other parts of the world? That is the very, very, very famous Ramban and Parshas HaChodesh. What my Rav said, basically now, everyone does. Oh, interesting, because the internet. Oh, that's it. The internet changes halacha. He's saying that basically, it's like the whole world is like one, like in China now. They also use they unified numbering and name system. So interesting. Interesting. So we'll see. So you guys raised two interesting questions about that. Interesting. I don't know. I still doubt it, but interesting. I hear what you're saying. Okay. That is point number one. Point number two, chavrus, freedom. We are entering the Pesach mode, coming into Pesach. We're experiencing the chavrus, the freedom of Yetzias Mitzrayim. There's a beautiful, beautiful Sefer HaChinuch. Actually, there are four Sefer HaChinuchs about this. He establishes the following principle. He says that the details of the halachos of the Korban Pesach were part of a general training education process to have the Jews view themselves as a free, independent, important nation. I'll say that again. The details of the laws of the Korban Pesach were part of a training process to educate Klal Yisrael as to what it means to be a free, independent, important nation. We've been slaves for several hundred years. We're now leaving Mitzrayim. As we leave Mitzrayim, we're becoming a free nation, not just a free nation, we are becoming the most important nation in the world. Klal Yisrael is the most important nation in the world because we have the most important job in the world, which is to keep and guard the Torah. That's our job. So, since we have the most important job in the world, we're the most important nation in the world. And Hashem wanted us to feel that way. The Jews in Mitzrayim had a slave mentality. Slaves normally view themselves as weak and not important and no future. And now we're becoming free. Hashem said, I want you to uproot that slave mentality. I want you to feel, you're a chush of a nation now. So the Chinuch says, and we'll see, we're going to go to four examples, that the details of the laws of the Korban Pesach were there to help train us in this feeling we're an important chush of a nation. And he quotes the famous idea, this is one of the most famous ideas in the Chinuch, Acharei HaPe'ulot Nimshachim HaLevavot. That means the hearts are drawn after the actions. That means if you want to feel a certain way, then if you act a certain way, acting that way will tend to help you feel a certain way as well. If you have a certain feeling, let's say at level of 1 to 100, level 10, and you act that way, and try to act it in a sincere way, naturally the feeling will grow to a 12, to a 15, to an 8, etc. That's what this means. Acharei ha-pe'ulot nimshachim ha-levavot. So there are four mitzvot of the Korban Pesach that the Chinuch says all of them are part of this training process. We're going to go through them now one by one. Here's what he said. It's a beautiful Sefer Chinuch, and then we'll connect it back to the Seder. Number one, the Korban Pesach must be eaten sui, roasted over an open fire, and not mabushel, not cooked in a pot. That's the din of the Torah. It says in the Torah, sui, not mabushel. What does that mean? It means as follows. When you cook meat in a pot, so the fats and the juices are become part of what you cook. So you eat like a stew, you know, you eat the meat, they're fats. But when you cook meat over an open fire, all of the fats and extra juices are burnt away. And you're left with very, very tasty, lean, very tasty meat. The Chinuch says as follows. A poor person would never roast meat over an open fire because you lose a third of the volume. It's all burnt away. A poor person gets the piece of meat. They'll put it in a pot and they'll cook it. So when they're done, they can feed four people because they have volume. There's more there. The fat, it doesn't taste so good, but there's more to what you're cooking when you cook it in a pot. Hashem says, listen, Bnei Israel, I want you to feel like you're a rich, aristocratic nation. You're becoming a chashev of a nation now. You're going to eat this Korban Pesach tzli, over an open fire. Get rid of all the fats, all the extraneous juices. It's going to be the most tasty meat that you can imagine. Even though it's much less volume, rich people eat this way. Aristocrats eat this way. I want you to feel like you're a chashev aristocratic nation. Got it? So that detail of the mitzvah of the Korban Pesach reflects or helps teach this notion, feel chashev about yourself. Is that the idea?
Is that the first of the four?
That's the first of the four. Is that point clear? Two. Well, so siu menu at boker. Don't leave anything over till tomorrow. He says the same idea. If you're poor, and someone gives you a big steak, and you haven't had meat in 3 weeks, the last thing you'll do is finish it all that first night. You'll take some, and you'll save some for tomorrow. I mean, why? Because you might not get meat tomorrow. You might not get any food tomorrow. You're poor. A rich person, I'll eat up what I have now on the table. I'll finish every bite. I won't worry about tomorrow. President Bush doesn't have to save leftover steak from Sunday for Monday. He gets a new steak on Monday if he wants it. He doesn't have to leave over. Rich, aristocratic people, they feel, listen, I'm confident I'll have a nice steak tomorrow also. So Hashem said, I want you to act like you're aristocrats. You're chashuv. Feel chashuv about yourself. You're not slaves anymore. When you eat the Korban Pesach, finish every bite. That's what aristocrats would do, and that's what I want you to do. Got the idea? And through doing this action, you'll be training yourself in this feeling of your chashuv nation, because we are a chashuv nation. Got the idea? This is a big yisod. Hashem was trying to uproot this slave mentality of, you know, we're Nebuch. No, you're not Nebuch. You're the most chashuv nation. To root overnight is hard. It's hard to root overnight. So this is part of the training process. Yes. Well, until the word be greedy, I would agree. Hashem saying, don't worry about saving anything, meaning, look, I'm Hashem, you're my nation, I'm going to take care of you. And you're a chashuv of a nation, everything's going to be fine. And in order to instill that notion of feel chashuv about yourself, finish every bite like an aristocrat would, except for the word greedy, I would agree with you. Meaning, part of it is, we can rely on Hashem. Listen, if we do what we're supposed to do, Hashem will give us whatever we need. Don't worry about tomorrow right now. Meaning, act like you're an aristocrat, and then you'll feel like one. The feeling of being an aristocrat is the feeling of I'm a Jew. I'm a Torah Jew, is even more. I'm a Torah Jew. I have the most important job in the world. I'm a chashuv of a person. Jews should feel that they're a chashuv of a people. We are. Yes. Yes. Yeah, you want to avoid the field of Gaza. So you want to avoid the field of Gaza. That's why. That's why they need. They see. We'll get to Chabur in a second. When you offer Korban Pesach, you don't have to eat the whole animal by yourself. You have one animal for a family. Or you can have two families or three families. So it's possible to have, you know, everyone gets a piece of meat this big. The idea is only going to eat over overall, but you yourself may end up eating only a small amount. So this doesn't affect the Yisrael Gassa directly. Oh. Three. Etzem Osish Beruvo. A poor person hasn't had meat for 3 weeks. Gets a steak. What do? You grab it, you start eating fast, and you're not so careful because you're hungry and you're starving, and you break the bones. An aristocrat, look, I've had meat before, I'll have meat tomorrow. You're supposed to, Etzem Osish Beruvo means eat it in a refined way. A person who's aristocratic eats in a refined way. He doesn't eat like he's starving and famished and he'll break the bones and go crazy. He eats in a refined way. So it's interesting. You have to finish every bite of meat and not break any bones. That requires very careful eating. That's how aristocrats eat. They don't eat in a unrefined way, for lack of a better antonym. They eat in a refined way. That's what they do. So think about it. To finish every piece of meat on a steak bone without breaking the bone requires you to eat in a very refined way. That's how rich aristocrats eat. They eat carefully. You know, I'm not sure they had knives and forks back then, but you know, there are different ways of eating with your hands, you know, and they ate in a refined way. That's part of feeling like you're an aristocrat. That's the most useful of all. These two go together. These two go together. Now, Chabura, this is what he says. It's more. Tindal says, there's a din that you ate the Korban Pesach in your group. That means once a group was established, you could not take the meat of your Korban Pesach and go eat it in a different group. The Korban Pesach had to be eaten together in its original group. That's a din in the Mishnayos. That's why before Pesach started, people would come together and join a group. That's called being joined to a group. And then that was your group goes to that Korban Pesach. That's how it works. And you can change that, but that's why you should know. We say in the Haggadah, Kol Zichvin Yesei V'Yechol, Kol Zichvin Yesei V'Yitzach. So they point out, it's not fully precise. You would never invite someone at your Seder to join the Korban Pesach. Why not? Because you had to have joined the group before the Pesach was offered. See, what Jews would do in Yerushalayim, what they would do is they would, let's say, 2 days before Pesach, say, listen, hey, we have a Korban Pesach, we have two spots left, we want to invite an Ani to our group, and you would invite an Ani to join your group before Pesach came. So we do at the Seder is, we're like, see, at the Seder, we're already eating it. So at the Seder, we are like, this is what the Rishonim say. At the Seder, we are trying to re-experience what B'nai Yisrael did when they invited people to their Seders before Pesach, to join their Korban Pesach. Got the idea? I can invite you to my Seder for the Masa and the Marwa, but when there was a Korban Pesach, I can't invite you to my Korban Pesach. You have to be appointed. You have to be part of my group originally when it was shechted. What? Yes, everything else. What? Is that why? No, it's in Magi. In other words, that line of Yetzei V'Yitzach. So most say that. So some say it means eat the things that accompany the Korban Pesach. That Yitzach, the accompaniment of the Korban Pesach. But.
You say
at the beginning of the Magid. Yeah, sure. Yeah, at the very beginning of the Magid. If you say it means Mamas the Pesach itself, then that line would have been said earlier, before the Shechita of the Pesach, you know, a day or two earlier when you invited guests over. Okay, it's a side point. Here's what he says. Here's what he says about Chabura. He says, let's say you're poor, and your neighbor, you live in a poor neighborhood, and then someone sends you, or you get a huge steak. That, you know, no one in this neighborhood has steak too often. They get a huge steak. Or what?
Not sure.
Okay. But I guess it depends on your mitos. Here's what he says. He says, if something is new and exciting to you, what do? You show your friends. Hey, look what I got. I got that. I got this huge steak. I got a bonus from work. I got this huge steak. Or let's say you win in the mail. You win a prize in the mail. place, a new stereo. Come on, I want to show you my new stereo. I just got a new stereo. It's great. It's a big stereo. You'll show it with your friends. Something which is new to you and you're excited about, you, in a sense, share with your friends. Again, whether you actually share some of the meat, that depends on your meatos, but you'll show it off to your friends. Rav, so the Chinuch says, listen, if you're an aristocrat and you have a steak, President Bush has a steak Sunday night for dinner, let's say, President Bush. Because he calls friends, hey guys, his friends from college, hey college buddies, I'm having steak tonight, can you believe it? He has steak every night. It means nothing to him. If you're a rich aristocrat, you enjoy the steak and then you go on with life. You're not gonna go and suddenly show, oh my gosh, I got a steak tonight, it's so exciting, let me go share it with my friends. So this is what he says. Staying together means you're supposed to view this big steak, you're eating meat tonight. Don't think, oh my gosh, we've been slaves. Can you believe we have a steak? It's incredible. I have a big steak. No. You're an aristocrat. You're going to enjoy your meal. Don't go share it with your friends. That's what he says. He says the halacha that you can't go share it and eat it elsewhere is part of this training process of you should approach the achilas hakarban Pesach like an aristocrat would, as opposed to like a poor person would, who suddenly got this huge gift from heaven. Oh my gosh, I have this big piece of meat, I'm going to go share it with my friends. That's what he says. This is the Chinuch. The Chinuch says that Hashem gave us these four specific details, mitzvahs of the Korban Pesach, as part of this general training process. If Hashem wants us to feel like we're a rich chashiv nation, a aristocratic nation, then you have to act that way. This is what the Chinuch says. Now, at the Leil HaSeder, we do things to experience chayrus, to express chayrus, freedom. At the Leil HaSeder, we are supposed to feel as if we're leaving Mitzrayim tonight. We're experiencing chayrus tonight. So Chazal, we're masaking to do things at the Seder which express chayrus. There's a rule in Chazal which is an important rule to keep in mind, which is kol the tikkun derabbanan ke'ein de'arais the tikkun. That means that when the Rabbanan establish dinim derabbanan, takanos, they don't pull a takana out of a hat. Every takana in Chazal somehow has like a similar predecessor in the Torah somewhere. Now, Chazal took mitzvahs in the Torah and said, oh, that mitzvah in the Torah is this theme. We think this din derabanan is necessary. We're going to establish a din derabanan patterns after that deraisa. That's what it means. Every takana of derabanan is ke'ein deraisa tikkun. It's patterned after a deraisa. For example, just simple examples. Chazal established fast days sometimes, midrabanan. Why? Well, we have Yom Kippur. In other words, since the Torah has a fast day in it, that's like something we do in the Torah, so it makes sense that Chazal would establish fast days derabanan. That's an obvious one. You know, Chazal found, oh, the Torah says to fast sometimes, so we think to create certain emotions, certain things to fast, so we're going to fast sometimes, patterned after the din in the Torah. Brachos are almost all derabanan, but there's one that's the right, attention. In other words, had the fact that we say brachos and everything is patterned after there is a bracha in the Torah. So those are easy ones. But then some get a little harder to figure out. The post game try to figure out, you know, every din d'araisa, every din d'rabbanan, you know, what sort of din d'araisa is it? Is it patterned after? So that's an interesting discussion which the post game, which the Mefarshim talk about. That's a phrase in the Gemara in a lot of places. Cold, tikkun derabanan, kein derais tikkun. That's a phrase, you know. I don't know all the places in the Shas where it's mentioned. I don't know, you know, but you know, that's a standard phrase in Chazal, and it comes up in lots of places. For example, the din of Kriyas HaTorah. Kriyas HaTorah on Mondays and Thursdays is in din derabanan. Torah never says to do that. Is there ever a time where the Torah says you must read from the Torah? Hakel. Who said Hakel? That's what you said?
Yeah.
Hakel. Every at the end of the Shemitah year, the king has to read for the. In other words, so the many Mepharshim say the entire institution of Kriyat HaTorah Derabanan is a Din Derabanan that's patterned after the Din Deraisa of Kriyat HaTorah of Hakel. There's always some Din Deraisa, which is like the original thematic source for whatever Din Derabanan that Derabanan are creating. That's the rule, and it's a very interesting. We'll discuss maybe other times as well. So the Gemara says Moshe wanted to go 3 days without Torah. When it says in the Chumash, they also couldn't find water for a couple of days. Ain Ma'ima with Torah, like Ma'ima or the Torah, because like you need to, it's like your basic sustenance. Oh no! I'm just saying that specific kind of reading from the Torah itself is patterned after the fact that there is a mitzvah to read from the Torah at one point. That's the idea. In other words, if there never was a situation where Hashem said read from the Torah, you know, as a dinder, then maybe Chazal would have found something else to do instead, you know, for every third day. That's the idea. It's a very interesting concept. Every Derabana, hey, what's the Deraisa this is based on? What's it patterned after? And the post team really try to, they work on this a lot. Rasa basically worked on this, It's one of his favorite themes that let's try to find, and Rav Shechter follows it as well, let's try to find, a dinder Deraisa upon which these Dinim Derabana are based. It's a very, okay, now, so what do we do with the Seder? What do we do with the Seder? We do a Seva, and we do drink the Zala Kosos. In other words, at the Seder, we're supposed to act like we're aristocrats, we're free, listen. And what if Hasid means you lean when you eat? Leaning means, especially in the old days, you're relaxed, you're not in a rush, there's no, listen. A rich person, I got money in the bank, I'm not in a rush to go anywhere so fast, I'm going to eat in a very relaxed way. Wine, people, aristocrats, they drink wine, part of being rich. So, what I'm saying is, when Chazal said, hey, at the Seder, we want you to have these expressions of chavus, so this Din Derabanan is patterned after the Din Deraisa of the Chinuch. The way the Chinuch explains the Din Deraisa, that Hashem wanted us to experience this freedom, to experience this feeling of being a rich aristocrat. Chazal didn't stop, let's out of the blue create this notion of expressing chayvus. No. Chazal said, hey, you're supposed to express chayvus. Look in the Torah, the Korban Pesach. We're going to find other expressions of chayvus on a Derabanan level. You got it? So this is what we just did was A, we explained the chinuch, and B, we just explained how this chinuch might be the backdrop for what goes on at the Seder, that this din derabanan at the Seder is patterned after the din deraisa of the mitzvah of the Korban Pesach, the way the chinuch explains it.
When she called children at one point, that when I discussed Kodesh the Yeshe of Yehu, Kodesh the Yeshe of Yitzhak, so I heard one shot is that that's happening before the Seder, as in the old days that happened before the Seder, and we're sort of quoting what they said, what anybody the people before the Seder. But the truth is, some Rishonim say that the first thing at the Seder itself, and we're basically inviting like the family members, like we're inviting our own family, come join the Seder, come into Korban Pesach. It's not really a declaration to others, but a sort of a declaration among the family. And I want to address him as well. I just wanted you to want it to be clear that that's not the only shot of Kodesh Bnei Yisrael Yehu. Kodesh Bnei Yisrael Yehu has several approaches to that question. And just wanted to mention that before we finish this issue. Okay, we'll stop there.
Dipping. Oh, I'll tell you why. Because dipping is not focused with this for chayvus or not. That's actually my focus. Because doing two dippings, some say it's zechu chayvus and some say it's not. Yeah, that's why it's not on the official list. I mean, it could be on the list. Put it in parentheses. Doing the dippings. Some of our Farshim say that we do dippings at the Seder because aristocrats, that's how they eat. They dip, you know, especially in those days. It's a more filling way of eating. You know, and so okay, but the official list of chayvus is those two. That is point number two. Well, if you hold that the pharoses
is very close to the mortar of the bricks, then the dipping becomes more of a zecher, where a zecher to the slavery. And even the karpas, the first dipping, we dip in salt water, and some Rishonim say, you should know, this is interesting. The Gemara does not say that. The Gemara does not say you dip the karpas in salt water, because that's the tears, that's one set, and the karpas backwards is shishim perech, 600,000 Jews had tzaretz in the shrine. That's what some of the Rishonim say. Because some Rishonim say karpas is a zecher l'uva, that people dip things. The nasmina would be doing haseba for karpas. There are two customs out there. Do we do haseba for karpas? Some do and some don't. The ones that do are saying, hey, rich people, aristocrats dip things, so haseba is a sign of being a chavis. So we're going to lean for karpas as a sign of chavis. Some people don't lean for karpas. Oh, because they're following this idea that it's the tier, the shishin paragraph, it's not. So this question, this is interesting. This is what some posts can point out. The question of whether you lean for karpas might depend on how you view karpas. Are you viewing karpas as a second dipping that rich people do? Or are you viewing karpas as, no, the tears and the shishin paragraph, right?
When I say shishin paragraph, you know what I mean? This is a... Just a second. Karpas is shishin perech backwards. Shishin means shishin ribo. 60 ten thousands. Perech works hard. That is not in the Gemara. The Gemara never uses the word karpas. The Rishonim say, oh, the vegetable karpas that we use has this remez. The Gemara just talks about two dippings. The Gemara says yirakos. It says vegetables. It doesn't say what's in. Some say you dip the karpas in charoset soup. But we don't. But that's the view of the Rambam and others. The Rambam and others say the karpas is dipped in charoset. We don't do that. That's not our custom. But I'm saying, no, the idea of salt water is not in the Gemara. The Gemara says you dip the yirakos in something. So again, our practice is that it might be both. Yeah, the Rambam thing is, Noah is more like, more than just the Amtus. What? No, yeah, in the charoset. That dipping is l'chora mitzad zechu l'shibud. Got it? Okay. The charoset is zechu for three things. The Gemara says two. The Gemara says charoset is zechu l'tit, tet yur tet. That stands as mortar. The bricks that we use that when we built in the shrine. Also, it says zechu l'tapuah. You put in, sweeter, tart tasting fruits. Zechu l'tapuah, because it says, there's a pasuk in, I think, Shir Shirim, Tacha Tatapuch or Ratifa. The Gemara says that the women were afraid to give birth where the Mishnah knew about it because they don't take the baby. So they ran out in the field and gave birth under the trees. And Hashem did a nate that there was no pain. They didn't cry out when they gave birth, because the Mishnah would have found them. So as a zephyr to the nate that the women gave birth outside under the trees in a miraculous way. So we have tapuach in the charoses as a zecher to that. That's what the Gemara says. That's the second part, zecher tapuach. About the babies, the Gemara and the Medrash have a very elaborate discussion what happened out there, because the babies were born. This is what the Gemara says. And the Mishnah came to find them, and the land swallowed them up, the mothers and the babies, until the midstream left, and then after they left, the babies would miraculously come out of the ground and sort of grow and come home. That's what the Gemara describes. Because it says in the Chumash, what does it say, Min Ha'adama? What does it say? Somewhere it has a language. It has a line of Min Ha'adama, that they came from the ground itself, in a sense. Okay, that's an interesting miracle which the Gemara describes. Interesting. And the third shot, Yerushalmi says, is Zecher L'dam. The charoset is Zecher L'dam. That's why the Yerushalmi, some posts can say, you're supposed to add red wine. How many do that into your charoset? How many of you, one second, not, how many, when do, what, how many of you add red wine into your charoset? When? At the table or before?
How many of you two would have to say to itself? Very interesting. It's been so interesting. So just let me tell you. The Yerushalmi says Zecher Ladam. You add wine, red Zecher Ladam. Some postings say, and Rav David Feinstein quotes this, this is the Kol Doji Hagadah.
He says you're supposed to add a lot of red wine right before you dip it, so that when you dip it, it's more liquidy. That's what he says. This is not a commonly done thing, I guess, I imagine. What? Zecher Ladam. Dam is looking. In other words, if you take this idea of Zecher Ladam to its logical conclusion, it should be liquidy. So it's thick when it comes out. And then right before you dip, you make it more liquidy. Now again, this is not commonly done, I'm aware, and I do not want anyone to start making trouble at home. The last time you make trouble, you follow your family's custom, and you just start changing things. I'm just pointing out that there are very fine things in the cold old you have got. Again, your family might like this, if your family likes wine, so you can, you get a little more wine. You get really drunk at the Seder. No, we're very fine. You've heard of the Kol Doji Haggadah? Excellent Haggadah. Kol Doji Haggadah in English. He goes through the whole Seder very clearly in English, the halachos. That's the Kol Doji, or Rav Eider. Rav Eider on the Seder is also very, this is in English halachos, very, very good. So he mentions you add wine to the parosis before the dipping Zecher Ladam. Now, what does Zecher Ladam mean? Until I'm blank years old, and until a month ago, that means for the last blank years minus a month, I've been assuming dam meant the dam of the babies, that they were being killed. That's what I always assumed. I've heard this before. Dam means the babies, dam of the babies. Then I looked up at the Yerushalmi inside. That's one shot. The other one says, no, it means the dam of Makas Pachoros. It means the dam of the Makas dam, meaning we make a remes to the first makkah, the first of the ten, meaning there's a machlokas. Does Zecher Ladam refer more to the shibud or more to the geulah? It's very interesting. Teeth is clearly Zecher Lashibud. Tapuach is Zecher Geulah. The sheet of dam, there are two opinions. If you open up the Yerushalmi is the Gemara Yerushalmi. Look up in the Yerushalmi. It's very interesting. One parish on the Yerushalmi says dam means the makkah of dam. And we have a Zephyr to the first of the ten Makos. So that's like the Gula. I shouldn't take these tickets out. Some say, no, the Dam means the Dam of the babies who were killed in Mitzrayim. Very interesting. I don't know. That, to me, that was a big surprise. I have a friend in Yeshiva. I have a friend running in Koilo. He's my age as well. Learning big, huge Talmud Chacham, Mamash. And I said, what is the Zecher Ladam? He said, who means Zecher Ladam of the babies who were killed? I said, nope, look at this. And he was so shocked. He said, no one thinks that. But again, it's just one perush on the Yerushalmi. The Yerushalmi has two perushim on the side of this. These two perushim. Okay. So we'll stop here. We're time out. Which dipping? No. Whether the first dipping of Karpas is officially supposed to be a Shubit or Gula, there are different opinions, yes.
The
Mar is Shibud, and the Machokas is the Chavos supposed to be another Shibud, or it's a contrast of the Gula. The Mar is a vegetable. What's the idea? So some say, listen, rich people dip before their meals, and that's what the Bach says. The Bach says a rich person, before he starts his meal, has an appetizer, gets himself the juices going. That's the appetizer. So you eat a little before the meal to get going. Other Rishonim say no, this idea. It's very interesting. The Seder is so interesting. Hours and hours on the Seder. You can go on and on forever.